if you're a unique individual, you know, we would love to have you in the youth ministry, because it takes a unique skill set to be able to do things like camp. And I am so appreciative of the three adults that we have here on stage, because I've just taken a new job, and because of that job, I was not able to go to camp myself, just because I didn't have that kind of time off. And these three stepped up and took the reins on that and just ran with it. And I was so grateful to know that I could send that group of students off and not have to worry about, you know, bad things that were going to happen, not have to worry about, you know, what's going to happen if somebody gets hurt, what's going to happen if someone gets in trouble, because I knew that these adults, God has equipped them to do the things that they needed to do. But I will say that whenever they drove away on that, or whenever I drove away, because I had to leave before they did get to work, there was a little part of me that was like, I wish I was going to camp. And I never in a million years would have thought that I would have said that. But camp is a great experience, because it's transformative, because you get to get away and you get to be immersed in the Word through Bible studies and through small groups. And right now I'm just going to have the kids that went, Kimberly, Brianna, and Chris, just kind of share a little bit about what God taught them at camp, and then I'm going to have our adults kind of go into a little bit more about the themes of the camp. Go ahead, Kimberly.
Okay, so, like, one of the things that really stood out to me was how close the kids there were getting close to God, and how close we were coming together as a youth and closer to God. One thing that stood out to me was, like, yeah, again, how, like, everyone was getting really close, and how, like, more people was, like, coming together as one instead of different individuals.
One of the things that stood out to me was in small groups, we broke up into small groups, and we didn't, like, know the kids that we were with, and they were very open, and at the end of the week, we got to know them very good, and it was a good experience, and I'd go again.
All right, well, let's start with Justin. Justin's going to share a little bit about kind of the theme of camp and what it means to abide.
Well, first off, the video showed that we had a whole lot of fun, and it really was. It was amazing, but there wasn't a whole lot of the worship time on that video, and that was really where hearts and lives were changed. When there's a room full of teenagers that are their age, and they've all got their hands in the air, and they're all praising the Lord, it was amazing. Like, I mean, there was some stuff going on in there that I just haven't seen in a long time, you know. And so I wish they'd have showed more of that, but I think that's kind of, you know, for personal growth with the kids and everything. But abide, it was John 15:5, you know, and it's just talking about making room for the Lord, you know, resting in Him, spending time with Him, and that's so that's what they were focused on this week. And so Monday, it was a long trip, and then we get there, and the first speaker there on Monday night was talking about how we need to rest in Him. And he talked to us about how, as youth leaders, we need to take some time away from our busy lives and get into the Word and just get some time with God, you know. And that really was effective for me, because I hadn't been. My life was kind of falling away. Like, my life was still good, but my relationship with the Lord was struggling, just because I didn't take that time. There's always stuff that fills up that time that I need to be spending with the Lord. And so when they talked about that, like, I had to explain to the kids, like, you know, even somebody like me that works outside and I work out all the time, like, I can get teared up. Like, I was just crying down here singing, you know. And so when they talked about that, about how we need to spend time with the Lord and we need to make room, I'm like, man, God, I haven't been making room. So, you know, when they had the invitation, I got to go forward and I got to pray about that and say, man, I want to make room. And so I did. Like, I started at camp. in the morning, you know. We started early and we finished late every day, but I made it a point to get up before all the rest of the guys in our room and just spend some time with the Lord, pray, and you know. That's carried on. I brought it home with me, you know, and it was just so important to stop and make time and abide in the Lord. And the definitions they gave us were rest in the Lord, you know, take some rest and rest on Him and remain in Him. And it was just an amazing lesson that we got to learn while we were there.
Okay, so a couple of questions. As you've taken this home and as you've lived with it, what are some things that you have given up? And this is for everybody up here. What are some things that you've given up to abide with Christ? And how has that affected the way that you deal with the people around you?
Somebody else want to go first? Okay.
Deer in the headlights.
Yeah. I kind of just talked about my sleep schedule. Like, sometimes, especially since it's hot out, I got to go to work early now. And I really like to go to the gym before I go to work. So my normal schedule is go to the gym, come home, and spend time with God, and then go to work. Well, I don't have that spend time with God in there, so I have to get up before I go to the gym. I say I have to get up. I get to get up and spend time with God before I go to the gym. And it's so time is one of my things, and sleep is one of my things that I have to give up. And then Amy and I also talked about it, you know, God moved on us really that, you know, we're in a new relationship and it's great to spend time with each other and we love doing that. But sometimes that's something that we may need to sacrifice some of that time to spend time with the Lord, and so we can be the people God wants us to be, the people we need to be for each other, the people we need to be for these kids, you know. So that's just two little things that I got to take out of my life and give to God.
Anybody else want to share about that?
I believe that we make room for things that are important to us in our lives. And so as much as I want to say I don't have time to be in the Word and to spend time with God, I do. Like, I could make a list of everything that I have to do as a responsible adult in my life, but I'm sure that there are times that I'm just not aware of that I could be spending in the Word, like on my lunch break, definitely before work. I could be in the Word or in prayer before I go to bed instead of scrolling on Facebook. So there's all kinds of little areas in our lives that we can abide in Christ.
So another kind of area that they talked about a lot was making disciples, and we're going to have Amy share about that.
Well, first of all, I want to thank everyone who supported the youth financially and spiritually and in prayer. Yeah, that means a lot. But when we got to camp, we were kind of surprised because we didn't really know what to expect as youth leaders. And we found out that the same time the kids were going to be in small group sessions, that the leaders had an opportunity to sit in with some very inspirational leaders in the church and just sort of be spiritually fed and rested up. So God kind of shared with me in 1 Corinthians 11:1, says, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." And so, you know, I am not perfect in any way. I'm not sinless, but my life, especially as a youth leader, needs to reflect the life of Jesus. And these kids are at this age is so hard. And I remember being a teenager and how fragile and impressionable I was. And so it's very important that my life reflects the life of Jesus, so that when they're watching me, you know, they mimic us and they follow my example, whether it's good or bad.
So how do you set that example for them? I mean, is it just a Sunday, Wednesday thing? I mean, how does that work?
No. Philippians 4:9 also spoke to me. It says, "Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." So, you know, how much good does it do if I just show up on Sundays and teach these kids, and then I solely focus on myself throughout the rest of the week? My passion and my purpose, I feel like, is to invest my time in the youth. You know, they are our future. They are the future of Maywood. But I've really made it a point to spend time with them outside of church, to let them see my life in a transparent way, and to see how I follow Jesus outside of church. And I think it's really important to me to just grab them and take them to the grocery store, or just allow them to just be in my life, be part of my life.
So when we were talking together, one of the things that you talked about was the idea of addition and multiplication in discipleship. And so can you kind of explain that just a little bit for us?
Yeah. They taught us how it's good. The discipleship model that we should be following is not just adding disciples, but multiplying disciples. And kind of an example of what that might look like, if I had five kids and I had another one and another one, I'm adding to my family. But it's not until my kids have kids and then their kids have kids that it becomes a generational thing. And that, to me, is what it looks like to disciple. It's good that we add disciples, but are the disciples that we're creating making disciples?
Yeah, because the way that this should work is that as people invest in us, we should invest in others. If you look at the example of Christ and the 12 disciples, Christ was investing in them nonstop for years. But then as you keep reading, you see people like Timothy that pop up. You see people like Mark that pop up. And they weren't part of the 12, but they were invested in by the 12. And they were people that were led there by the 12 and Paul. And I think a lot of the times what the temptation is for us to just take in everything, because it feels good to have people invest in us. But whenever you begin to invest in someone else, that's a completely different feeling, especially whenever you see them finally get it, whenever it finally clicks. And, you know, our goal in our youth ministry is to have students, whenever they leave our ministry, have a relationship with Christ that they can reproduce in someone else. That they can walk with someone else who doesn't know Christ and get them to the point where they are now. And it begins not with our students, it begins with these adults, because I only have so much time. I can only invest in so many kids, and that's less, what I can do is less than the number of students that we have in that youth chapel on Sundays and Wednesdays. So we rely on these adults to pick up kids as well, and to invest in them and to move them in their walk with Christ. All right, so lastly, we're going to have Katie share just a little bit about what God said to her at camp.
Yeah, so I learned a lot at camp. Three main things that I want to focus on. But first, I'm going to start with my verse. It's 2 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. So be strong in the grace. In the grace, that is only given to you because you have a relationship with Jesus. You cannot just receive grace by doing things on your own time. You got to be in touch with Jesus and have a relationship with him. And be strong in it, because you have this relationship with Jesus and you have this grace. Like, be strong. Take hold of it and go with it. And then verse 2, the things that you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. You guys sit in here every Sunday, and you come on Wednesdays, and you hear Jake and Bob and your small group leaders, and you hear what they're saying, but are we taking that, and are we taking that out there with us into the world, and are we doing those things, and, you know, are we being disciples? So we are qualified to teach others because of what we hear and what gets poured into us, okay? So that's kind of my theme verse for these three points, okay? So the first point is going to be eliminating the fear of missing out. So in our lives, there's a very big push for oh my gosh, I need to check Facebook. How many likes did I get on that picture? How many likes is on Instagram? All this stuff. What am I missing out on? Oh my gosh, who is saying this thing about this thing and blah, 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 blah. What am I missing out? Well, the question is, like, what are you missing out with God? Instead of what's going on with the world, what's going on with the next best outfit, you know, who's God calling you to go and talk to people? What's going on in the room around you that people need prayer for? Okay. And also to be fully present in every moment. That's just, you know, setting aside your phone for a couple minutes. If you're meeting with someone, you know, just put your phone away and just be fully present. Fully present with God, fully present with people. My second bullet point is making Jesus a part of everything in my life. So, you know, I go to school, I go to work, I come to church, I'm at home, I go to different events in my life, and Jesus needs to be a part of all of that, not just a time on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. So what does that look like? It looks like me being fully present in the situation and really focusing on what Jesus is telling me to do in that moment. So whenever I'm at school, how can I tell my friends about Jesus? I had an international roommate last semester, and she was from Japan, and she didn't know anything about Jesus. So really being fully present in that moment and sharing with her about Jesus, you know, if I did not include Jesus in every aspect of my life, she would have never known about Jesus. Also in work, how can I be the best employee that I can be? Because God calls us to work with all we got and work for the Lord, not for man. So as we are working, how are our coworkers gonna see Jesus in our lives? How is our boss gonna see Jesus in our lives? How are we gonna stand out and make that difference? And just at our homes too, be the influence. How am I showing Jesus to my family? How am I showing Jesus in my life, you know, spending time with him and that kind of thing? And then my last one is just being bold. So being a Christian, it takes a lot, and you have to just put yourself out there. And this is not a shy game for shy people, and you just, you know, even if you're shy, God gives you the strength. And if you ask for it, you will receive it. So being bold in that, how do you do that? You know, you just have to stand up for what you believe and not care what people think about you and just say, hey, Jesus, this is like real stuff right now. And so the one thing that I learned about being bold is praying with people. Sometimes I don't really like to go up to people and say, hey, what can I pray for you about? But after this experience, it's like, hey, you know what? Everyone craves hope. Everyone needs something to believe in and have that in their life. And so if you go up to someone and ask them if you can pray for them and what you can pray for them about, they will always, 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 always give you an answer. There will never, ever be a time where they will say, no, you can't pray for me. So, and I've went and prayed with a few people this week, and it's amazing, like, what they say. And so I'll tell the story.
Yeah. The one of the great things about this is that on the way home, we got to see an example of how all three of these kinds of things work, because the kids were able to see some examples of what our adults did with some people and then put that into effect. So go ahead and tell that story real quick, Katie.
Okay. So on our way home, our last day of camp, it was noon. We were leaving. We were hungry. So we stopped at McDonald's, just like, you know, we normally would. And there was another church group in there as well. And so I go up to order my food. And the lady at the cash register, she's like, oh, my gosh, there's, like, lots of people wearing those shirts. Like, where are you from? What's going on? And I'm like, hey, yeah, we're from the Super Summer Church Camp, like, down the street at the university down there. And she's like, oh, that's really cool. And so I was thinking in my head, I was like, oh, that's an icebreaker. Like, I'm going to pray with her. So I was like, hey, what can I pray for you about? And she was like, my salvation. So I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, so I was like, if I wouldn't have taken that chance and, like, taken that cue, you know, she may not have, you know, ever had someone to pray with her about that. And so Justin and I prayed with her, and then as we were leaving, another cool thing happened.
So we're all in the bus, we're leaving McDonald's, and I see the manager to McDonald's, like, talking to the people in the car in front of us, you know, And this place was packed. There was people everywhere. And so we start to move forward, and I'm like, hey, I'm going to pray for this guy. Like, so I grab him. I'm like, hey, come here. Can I pray for you? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, what can I pray about? And he's like, well, my health, and I have a bunch of friends down in Florida going through a lot right now. And so I said, okay, cool, you know. And he started to walk away, and I was like, no. We're going to pray for you, you know. So I got him back over there. I was like, everybody be quiet. We're going to pray for this guy, you know. And so we prayed with him and went on our way, and then...
So when we pulled up in the parking lot at church, there was a woman that was clearly distressed. She was crying and upset, and we had pulled in the parking lot for maybe 2 seconds when she came up to her window, and she was crying, and she needed a ride downtown to see her husband. And honestly, like, I think we were all kind of thinking, we are so tired and hot, and we've been with teenagers for a week. Like, we just want to go home. And, but, you know, we were like, okay, let's see what we can do. We'll go in the church. But before we could even tell her, no, we can't help you, which we weren't trying to do, but Tori had jumped out of the bus and said, hey, let's pray for her. You know, because of the things that she had learned at camp and because of the examples that she saw from the leaders, like, she knew that that's what she needed to do and to recognize the Holy Spirit talking to her. So she jumped out, and she and I and another youth member started praying with her. And so we went inside the church to see if we could help her out. And when nobody else was really out there, I saw Tori pull out her Bible from her backpack, and she was on a mission to find a specific scripture. And she took it upon herself to go up to her and share the word with her. So that was awesome. Yeah.
All right, thanks, guys. You guys can go ahead and have a seat. And as the worship team comes up, I just want to say, you know, camp is fun and camp is exciting. And there are a lot of good things that happen at camp. But if they don't come home and make a difference here, in our community, it doesn't mean much. The things that these kids experienced at camp don't just have to be experienced at camp by students or by adults that go there. They are there to be experienced by any person that's in this room, because God has love for all of us. God desires all of us to be a part of that disciple-making process. Whether you're someone who has no idea who Jesus is, or you're someone who's been walking with Christ for 25 years, he wants you to be a part of that discipleship process, both with people investing in you and you investing in other people. And that can start today. Because whenever we make those disciples, we begin to shine. Philippians 2 says that we shine like stars in the universe. And what it is that makes the star shine is the blackness around it, because it's such a contrast. And you know, my prayer for these students and adults that went to camp is that as they continue to go through these next few weeks and the rest of the months, through this year and through the rest of the time, is that they continue, as they abide, to shine. Because whenever we shine, we draw people to us. And that's how our community's changed. But it takes us. It takes this church, it takes every person in here to abide in Christ. That's where it starts. Because if you start there, the rest of it just kind of happens. Because it's what has to happen, because it's where God pushes you, it's where God leads you, it's where God directs you. And so, you know, again, I want to thank everybody here for their support. You know, we kind of started late raising support for camp. I'll just share this, and this will be the last thing I share, and we'll have our invitation time, response time. But early in that process, I was kind of a little bit stressed out, because I didn't know how much we were going to have to raise, and it was going to be quite a bit. You know, and God just very clearly told me, don't worry, we're going to take care of it. And you know what? A month before we left for camp, we had everything that we needed for camp. So I thank you, thank God for that. you know, and you were a part of that. So the life change that happens up here in Brianna being baptized is a direct result of going to camp. It really is. You know, so lives are changed, and it's a good thing. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you change us so that we don't have to remain the way that we are. Because some of us, we just get stuck. But you don't leave us there, Lord. You draw us deeper and deeper into your presence. And as we move there, you begin to just strip away the things that don't glorify you, the things that don't honor you, the things that don't help us shine like those stars in the universe. And Father, I just pray Lord, that today, if there is someone here, one person who needs to begin with you, who needs to learn what it means to abide with you, Lord, I pray that would start tonight, this morning. Lord, I pray that as we walk away from this place, Lord, that you would just give us boldness to do the things that you ask us to do, to see where you're at work, and to be a part of your work. In Jesus' name I pray.